I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Don't make friends with salad, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here. Luke Moore's to his right.
All right.
Pete Donaldson's to his right.
Hello, Marcus Speller, how are you?
I'm lovely, and
good.
Yourself?
Good, fine, awesome.
Ah, it's nice to be asked.
It is. You never get asked.
It's
never
also nice to be your own critic. Mm. Pete's decided that he's awesome.
Yeah.
I agree, by the way.
Very
I
peppy.
Do agree.
Particularly caffeinated yoghurt today?
Well, we're recording this on a Sunday. I can sometimes see that on Sundays we're a little bit quiet, a little bit more subdued, so I'm trying to bring the noise, as that band once did.
Public Enemy.
Public Enemy.
Bring the noise, bring the funny, bring the money. Right, a young Barnsley fan was seen taking his pet hamster to the football. Reasonably recently.
The scene is so typically Yorkshire.
Obviously, we don't condone this, you know, and...
I'm sure he looked after it.
Well,
Marcus,
yes.
Marcus, you don't need to give that disclaimer.
Yeah.
We do, because the animal people scorned him.
Did
well,
they?
I'm saying we do condone it.
Yeah, okay,
we're
fine.
Right,
so Pete condones
I condone
taking
it.
Hamsters to football.
Take as many as you like. Take a suit made of them.
You say you don't condone it, but your next question is about to be if you could take an animal to a football match, which one would it be?
And he seems to condone it very much.
Yeah.
And that was the little jokey line that I had lined up for our dear listeners. Well done. I hope you're pleased with yourselves.
I've taken it.
Yeah. Yep.
The listeners will appreciate that.
Yeah. So, listeners, just in case, a young Barnsley fan has seen taking
we're not included in this
to the football. Now, obviously, we don't condone that kind of thing. I think the... the RSPCA, they didn't like that as well, you know. But with that in mind, if you could take an animal to the football gym...
Sorry, where was the joke?
Yeah. Which one
the joke
would
there?
You choose?
You've done a little joke
you could choose
there.
More than one animal.
It.
You could choose more than one animal. But I just said animal for the sake of the question, okay. Jim. Go.
Creature. Can I take it as
creature? Yeah, creature.
You what
are
I would one. Do is I would train a team of chameleons to just move the ball around. And then obviously that would help my team.
That would take
they need
absolutely
help.
Ages.
Yeah, you think that. But you don't know my methods.
As far as I know, they can only change colour to adopt the background behind them.
As far as you know.
As far as you know.
So you're actually going to train them to change colour to whatever they want.
Well, they'll be moving onto different surfaces, won't they? So some will be on the ball, some will be on the ground around it, and they'll just work in tandem.
So when they go...
Or in unison.
When you're training them and they get to the right colour you want, you give them a biscuit.
Pavlov's chameleon.
Do you think I'm stupid enough to tell you how I'm going to do that?
Okay,
do you really think I would reveal that?
No, I don't.
They're just going to get stepped on.
But you think that. But, you know, have you ever trained chameleons?
I've trained a comedian. He's right in front of me.
So, yeah, that's what I would do. And, like I said, I'm not telling you how I'm going to do it.
You've got me thinking you might have some chameleons here now and we just can't see them.
How would you know, mate?
I won't know.
Could be one on Pete, right?
Be on guard.
No.
If it's going to be on anyone, they'll be on Pete.
Yeah, I'm already covered in crack spiders. Get them off me.
Well, they eat crack spiders.
Oh, okay,
so,
good.
So that's fine. Although I don't want my chameleons addicted to crack, Pete. So just
no, they're not addicted to crack spiders.
My other answer, had I not come up with such a brilliant one, would be to take just a chimpanzee into any group of idiots making monkey noises. Chimpanzee. Yeah, it's going to get annoyed, isn't it? Going to kick off after a while, start ripping faces off.
That'd be brilliant.
A gorilla would be better because they're much more powerful.
They are powerful, but chimpanzees freak out, don't
that
they?
Would
I
be, suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'd stand there going, well, there's a difference between a chimp and a monkey because one's an ape, so you're just getting it wrong, Jim.
And you would be the first against the wall.
Against the wall.
It would be terrifying to come face to face with a gorilla. Absolutely terrifying.
I think it'd be quite sedate. You'd just be sat there eating.
And to be fair, mate, apparently the people in the crowd, in this made-up crowd, they can't differentiate between any sort of ape and footballers. So,
I mean, the monkey noise
is a further level of the satire.
Yeah.
I think it's an apt punishment. But essentially, if you make a monkey noise in a stadium...
you get torn limb from limb.
A chip gets chucked in there and your face gets taken off.
it's bad news for you if you are sat with the idiot minority.
I'll tell you what, I'm as liberal as they come, but try telling me that won't sort it out.
Yeah.
It will.
No, but Jim, you train them.
No, I just train chameleons, you fool.
Yeah.
No, be sensible.
But there'll be two fans of racist, though. The ones that do the monkey eyes and the one that throw the bananas. The chimp's interested in dealing with both of them.
That's a good point.
If UEFA issued a sanction saying, and then your next game will be played behind closed doors, but the home fans will be allowed in with a chimp.
If they bring a chimp.
They'll be going, oh, yeah, that sounds all right. What? That'd be fantastic.
Luke, what's your answer?
My answer is very similar to the chimp... chat.
Okay.
Chim chat.
But I've got a little bit more off-piste.
Mine's not too dissimilar as well.
And I've decided a little macaque monkey or a lemur. I initially thought
a monkey or a lemur?
Little macaque monkey or a lemur, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lemurs are cool.
Yeah, exactly. And because a chimp would be too much to handle or too much hassle. I couldn't take a chimp in with me. I'd be technically speaking, they'd be intelligent enough to sort of look after themselves, but I'd be worried about it.
Sneaking it in is going to be tough.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll go in for a little lemur, and what I'll do is I'll put him in my little inside pocket in my jacket with his head poking out so we can watch the game.
A little ring-tailed one.
Yeah.
The ones that look like they're wearing glasses.
Yeah. And then at half-time, I'd send them to go and get me a beer or a cup of tea or whatever, and he'd be intelligent enough to go and get it. Probably wouldn't have to pay for it because he'd just swing down there and get it. Bring it back. Don't forget the little plastic milk pots. Go back, get them. Bring them to me and I could have a cup of tea as well. So essentially it would be providing a valuable service to my game-watching experience, but also be, you know, a pretty cool thing to have there, you know. And people would be like, oh, do you remember the guy who brought the lemur to the
trained
game?
Lemur.
Yeah, what was the score? I can't remember. It was a lemur.
I reckon somebody brought a monkey to the to a football match, like in the north, in like kind of seafaring towns. You'd always know someone who used to own a monkey in the '70s, because you could get away with doing that sort of thing.
No, in the '70s, it's true. You could buy ridiculous animals, couldn't you? And then they'd get too big, and people had to get rid of them.
That was Harrods' thing, wasn't it? Harrods could buy anything you wanted. Mm.
Who were the fellas who had the lion in their flat in London?
And there's a YouTube video of them.
Yeah,
they released it back into the wild, and they'd be reunited years later and it remembered them and it had a family. It was absolutely incredible video.
There's a picture doing the rounds of Pete about 5 years old next to a chimp. There isn't there?
It's a poorly maintained chimp, to be fair. It's from a circus.
And a poorly maintained child. Yeah.
You and your family are endorsing it by having a photo.
It was the 80s.
You probably paid him a fiver for that photo.
Peter, what's your answer?
My answer is I'd bring in a load of snakes, but I'd disguise them as hot dogs in a hot dog bun. I'd carry them in, and no one would know. That guy's just eating a hot dog.
Well, I mean, you're not allowed to bring your own food.
So you'd be pretending to eat it, just sort of sucking on it.
Oh, I'm just nibbling the bun. I prefer the bun. The bun's the best bit.
Yeah, the bun. Guinea pigs, though.
What brand?
The bun would be two guinea pigs, and the snake would be the sausage.
What species of snake?
The one that closely resembles a hot dog sausage.
None of them.
So you'd paint it, maybe. I suppose you could just smother it in ketchup and mustard.
Apart from you being an utter deviant, what is the purpose of this?
I got snakes in the place.
Jim's saying that he's gone for the chameleon so they could help his football team. Luke's wanting, obviously, not to get out of his seat, and you're just doing it for the thrill.
For the thrill.
I mean, you're just sucking the snake there, anyway.
Yeah.
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
Just want to watch Newcastle United and suck on a snake, all right, guys?
If I text one of my friends and they replied saying, I can't come out, I'm painting a snake in preparation to take it to the football tomorrow, if it was Pete, I wouldn't question it.
Mine is quite similar, reasonably similar to the chimp chat earlier. I take a grizzly bear in with me.
Wow!
And so,
fully grown adult,
all the rest of it.
And what time of the year? Because if it's just come out of hibernation, you're bang in trouble.
Yeah. No, I'm not, because I'd train it.
It's going to cause carnage.
Anybody who says anything foul, horrible,
you
know, racist comment, or just you know, any of the obias or the ists,
they get scalped.
I just give him the nod, and the grizzly goes out and takes them outside.
I
say, do what you want. I don't tell me what you've done.
Did you hear that? I'll give him the nod, and the grizzly just goes, yeah.
And also, as well, in the winter months, you snuggle up, it keep you a bit warm.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. When it hibernates, it packs its anus with soil and twigs.
Is that right?
So it doesn't need to go to the toilet.
You still
get the urge, though, surely.
Female grizzly birds have been known to give birth while hibernating.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And if you go, that's why you
wakes up in March. Who are you guys?
Oh, my God, tiny me.
How drunk was I 3 months ago?
Excellent. I think
that's people booing you because you misused the animals. Boo.
Well, I misused the animals.
Yeah. Okay. Boo.
I think Jim's got the points.
Oh, well done, Jim.
Well done, Jim.
I think the RSPCA have got the points. I'll happily take them anyway.
Oh, well done, Jimmy.
I look forward to the email from them.
The points were shared at Leicester, of course, in an incredible match. Leicester 2, West Ham 2. A tale of many penalty decisions.
Penalties.
Yeah. John Moss was interpreting that game in a strange fashion.
You know nothing, John Moss.
Yeah. I saw he had an app on his phone that just went, what decision next? Like a magic 8-ball.
Yeah.
Look, Cloudy, just do anything.
Someone
send him off.
The penalty, just him shaking his phone. Yeah. No penalty.
It was very brave of him to send Vardy off, although I did quite like a lot of comments on social media saying he just wants to be in the film.
Yeah.
Gotta say,
I can
though.
See that.
Yeah. Gotta say, I mean, it's the right decision.
He stepped into his line as he usually does to give himself a bit of space, and then he got a touch and thought, I'm going to throw myself down. But he did it in such a crappy way. Hang your head, Vardy, if you can, with that massive chin.
The problem with your two's perception and assessment of that is the fact that the first yellow card wasn't a yellow card. So he should have adjusted his game accordingly, knowing he could have been sent off. But the first yellow card wasn't a yellow card in a million years. And it was the first decision in a series of decisions by John Moss, which were avant-garde, to say the least.
I mean, I thought that when Vardy went down, it wasn't a penalty. But I think it's one of those ones where it wasn't as clear-cut. And, I mean, it's good to see, if the referee, in one sense, it's good to see the referee actually thought, that's a dive, so second yellow, you're off.
Yeah, but the rest of the game, isn't it?
No, sure.
What happened later in the game was just like, what?
No, absolutely. But in that decision alone, if the referee thinks he's dived, it's good that he's taken action.
Yeah, yeah.
However,
I mean, we complain about this all the time.
We do. However, I think it was one of those where it was actually too grey whether he dived. I mean, he probably did leave his leg in there. There was a bit of a tangle.
There was contact.
There was.
At the end of the day.
I think what the referee could have done there is said, no penalty, it's a tangling, and that's it.
But the thing is,
not actually sent.
The offence is simulation, isn't it?
Manufactured the contact as well, didn't he? So you're right. I mean, the simulation does come into
it. True. And the trouble is, Vardy appealed, didn't he? In the way he looked like he knew what he was doing.
I was really sort of surprised and a little bit sort of upset on behalf of West Ham fans for the way West Ham started the game. I mean, because, okay, West Ham had it's very difficult to sort of interpret the statistics and stuff because Vardy went off and they had 10 men for such a long time. So you can read too much into that. But certainly for the first portion of the game, I was convinced that Bilic, who's made a bit of a reputation for himself of being able to get points and wins out of difficult games, I was convinced he was just going to pack the midfield and play a Van de Carrel up front and frustrate Leicester.
Yeah, I'm amazed that they didn't.
Yeah, but the first thing they did almost, they just piled everyone forward in the first 20 minutes and then Leicester caught them on the break. It's like, what do you expect to happen?
Have
like,
you seen team, any football this season?
It's the best team in the Premier League on the break. I've just caught you on the break and scored.
But Carroll came on, didn't he?
He did come on, yeah.
Was he injured or something? Was he kind of?
Well, he played in the Cup midweek and he started the game before that, so I think it's probably maybe a bit of a game too far.
I like that you were upset for the West Ham fans.
Well, I would have just been, I was empathising with their position because I would have thought, West Ham have still got a decent amount to play for. It's a tough game for them. I would have been perfectly happy. I'm not saying I'm like some amazing tactician or whatever, but I would have been perfectly happy for the first hour for them just to frustrate Leicester. Mm-hmm. Saying, like, what have you got? What have you got?
Mind you, they nearly scored.
Because they don't like the ball, do they? They like not having the ball.
They're fine with not having it, yeah.
What a save from Kasper Schmeichel when it went off both posts, though.
It's fantastic.
It's one of the saves of the season.
It was a very good game overall. I mean, some of the decisions were bizarre, as we touched on.
The West Ham penalty.
Yeah. That was a really, really strange set of circumstances because he had warned Huth and Morgan already. They had manhandled players a lot more aggressively than in previously and not been given a penalty for it. But it's almost like the way John Moss was warning them was saying, I've seen you do that, but I've decided that's not a penalty.
Yeah.
Because presumably if he thought it was a penalty, he'd be given one. Yeah. And then he's seen one which is a lot more tame, where Mr. Reece dived, and he gave a penalty for that.
I think it's just impressed that he managed to drag Hoof down a little bit. It's like pulling down a tree.
Just giving him a penalty for that.
Yeah.
But I think Winston Reid has seen that there are some strange decisions going on and thought, I'm just going to try something.
See what happens,
here.
Because then Leicester, and obviously Cresswell scored a beauty.
Ugh. That was a fantastic goal.
And then Hoof should have got a penalty.
Yes.
And then, in the context of it, obviously.
And then John Moss gives a penalty for something that was never a penalty after that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, levelling it up, surely.
If it really felt like that.
If you had taken those decisions and those incidents in a game and pumped them into a computer and just generated a random response from like an internet referee, it would have, essentially, that's what it looked like.
You talk about leveling it all up, but you sort of think, well, he had better opportunities to do that.
And he didn't do it.
And he didn't.
Like,
and then
he
thought, oh, we're out of time. Oh, God. I don't want to be in the headlines for ruining Leicester's time.
Do you wonder if the talk about Kevin Friend getting moved off the game maybe actually affected him?
No, it was a different game.
I know it was a different game, but it's the idea of the pro Leicester bias from anyone because of the amazing nature of the story.
Maybe it made him think, God, we're under a lot of scrutiny here, sort of thing.
So I go mad.
Yeah, I'll make a name
this
for myself.
This is how I respond to pressure.
Yeah. I'm going to completely malfunction my own brain. But I sometimes you're tempted to think with referees and stuff, because I mean, I talked about this on the live show we did last week about how referees have now started making real wild gesticulations about decisions they're making and stuff. Ostensibly, I'm supposed to make it clear to people watching, but they don't really need to do that. No. They don't have to justify the decisions in that way, and they've certainly never done that before. Mm. But it seems to me, so while I'll be tempted with this John Moss thing to think, oh, he's just trying to make a name for himself and dominate the proceedings and be the man in the middle.
I don't think
he was either. No. I think what actually happened in this situation was that he got himself in a bit of a tiz, and he couldn't, and the game was so highly paced and so highly so important, I suppose, that he just started on a sort of downhill spiral of getting wrong decisions, and he just couldn't pull himself out of it. Because that Winston Reid penalty, I'm not suggesting that Leicester players, as someone said earlier in the day-to-day to us, that you know those defenders do play on the edge a bit. But the example that he gave the penalty for was by far the lightest manhandling of a player in the box that I saw that game. And if anything, it was a dive by Winston Reid. Mm. And if you are going to be so eagle-eyed that you can give a dive for Vardy and send him off from 30 yards away from behind, and you're 10 yards away from Winston Reid and you think that's a penalty, then I've got questions for you.
You do, and we want to hear them. But it could be a case that he's made the right call, some would say, on Vardy. He's been very brave and made a good decision there. When the penalty, you know, when Reid went down, he was probably saying to the two defenders, you know, Huth and Morgan, stop it, you've been doing this all game.
Yeah.
And just for a second, excuse me, if his eye line wasn't quite on that, he sees Morgan little bit, his arm there, and the player go down, and he might just add one, you know, put two and two together there. You know what I mean?
I understand that viewpoint, but I think, you know, if your mission in that is genuinely trying to stamp that out of the game, give a penalty in the first 2 minutes then. As soon as the corner comes over, the first corner of the game, and you see someone do that, give a penalty. Guarantee you won't do it for the rest of the game. They won't.
Well,
yeah, so if his ambition is to stamp it out, there are just other ways of going about it. But Jamie Vardy took his sending off well, didn't he? My God.
that's going in the movie.
That was watershed stuff.
Yeah. That's just made it an R-rated movie,
yeah,
straight away.
It has.
If he didn't deserve a yellow card for that, he deserved a yellow card for the language he used after he got
completely
sent off.
Well, someone was saying that, someone said on Twitter that perhaps the referee gave him a yellow card for deliberately tripping the defender.
Ooh. Right, okay.
So, because he put his leg in front of him and he sort of bundled him over and then he chucked himself on the floor.
But strikers are allowed to kind of step into somebody's. Yeah.
Strikers
are
allowed to kick people.
Can't take the bustle out.
No. Yeah. Hustle and bustle is what it's all about.
Yeah. But Leicester did get a point.
They did.
Ranieri was made up after the match and said it's very important psychologically. And he's right.
I can see that.
Because it will feel like a win.
And also, if you're going to get Vardy sent off for a straight red and lose him for three matches or get a WL card, give him like a week's rest. You know,
it's well, he's Swansea next, isn't it? Which is one of the, you know, with respect to Swansea.
They're on the beach. Yeah. Newcastle beat them at the weekend.
Yeah. With the largest amount of respect I can muster for a team who've just been beaten 3-0 by Newcastle. Leicester should win that.
Yeah. Ranieri might give himself a run out up front.
Yeah. You're right about what you say, though, because they looked pumped after the game. They looked so pleased to have got out of jail. Yeah. Mm. And it's a great credit for them to be 2-1 down against a good team, didn't give up,
with
got
few minutes
back
left
in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an achievement, isn't it? If you take it as the microcosm of the game, not losing that game in those circumstances is an achievement, and all of those achievements add up to give you that momentum. And it's
Leicester have had the rub of the green in some matches. Five or six. So.
I said, Pete, like a few weeks ago, Vardy could have gone for that outrageous lunge that he wasn't even booked for, I don't think.
Yeah.
So
he's had weeks to think of that speech.
He has, yeah. I don't think anyone at Leicester would, or the fans would say that they haven't been on the right end of decisions broadly, because they have. I think everyone can see that.
Mm. Well, they are.
But yeah, that's not the reason they're top of the league, but it's certainly been a factor. You know?
Sure. I mean, Ranieri is a huge factor in it. And the way he conducts himself is quite brilliant. And off the field, it won't surprise you to hear that in a recent interview with Christian Fuchs, I think it was in The Guardian, he was talking about Ranieri and just what a brilliant bloke he is.
Well, Fuchs sounds like a brilliant man himself.
Yeah, he's a fantastic player, by the way, as well.
He turned, he had a 30th birthday party recently and Ranieri got the dates wrong and turned up a day early.
Love it.
And turned up and was like, where is everybody?
Yeah, I love it. I love the idea of Fuchs answering the door in his apron, just doing a couple of baked potatoes for him and his wife. All right, boss, what are you doing here? Yeah. I've got a spare baked potato if you want one.
Well, he did return for the correct date and Fuchs said Ranieri was just loving it. He was there in the corner having a drink. And he didn't say anything about the Leicester players having a drink. He just joined in the fun, like Sir Alex Ferguson would.
Yeah. Alex Ferguson turns up at parties, all right, but not for that reason.
You've got to find your own fun.
Yeah, right.
And he certainly found it.
Pouring kerosene on Lee Sharp's barbecue. Yeah, yeah, you want a barbecue? Yeah. Here's your barbecue.
A difference in managerial style.
That's right.
You can imagine Ferguson, when Ferguson turns up to that Lee Sharp barbecue. Oh, he's Alex Ferguson's walking up the path. Lee Sharp's going, has he got any sausages with him? Oh, he's not here for that, isn't he?
He's not here for that.
That's right. It's snakes.
Yeah, how'd you hide a barbecue? It's on fire.
Snakes.
Yeah. Oh, but Ferguson's former club, Manchester United, they beat Aston Villa 1-0.
Yeah.
1-0. Mm. They got a goal in the first half and then just saw it out.
Yeah. You never know with these villains. Yeah. You never know.
Did well.
It's sad to see. I mean, it's inevitable, of course.
Well, it's a relief, isn't it, more than anything, Mike?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Villa drop out of the top flight for the first time. Is it 28 years?
Mm.
Incredible. Mm. I mean,
it's not incredible if you see their performances.
No, no, no.
Oh,
but
you didn't
mean
that? Okay,
no, right. It's just incredible that they've been there so long. And when you're reminded of that, you think, oh, yeah, this is a huge club with huge tradition. They've just been so bad.
The Premier League's going to be really weird without them.
Yeah, they've just been so bad this season that you've known for months that they're going to go down.
It's been a poorly run club. They've had a terrible time of it the last few years, really. This has been the sort of, the final straw, I suppose. Yeah. I know it won't feel like it to Villa fans now, but speaking of someone who supported a team who's been relegated on more than one occasion,
listen to him.
It can be quite redeeming eventually, because you can get that move on from that, get that out of the way. I mean, yeah. It'd be ideal for them if they can.
And
move.
You could be challenging for playoff spots in League Two.
Oh yeah, all right. And that is literally what's happening. I mean, Portsmouth. Don't get me started on that after Saturday.
Come on, carry on.
But what I was just going to say was,
sure.
if they can find some way of if Randy Lowe can move on from the club. Hopefully that will happen and they can sort of start again. They won't feel like that at the moment because they'll be smarting from it, and rightly so, because those players have been a disgrace and the running of the club in general has been a disgrace. Mm. But hopefully at some point they'll look back on it and go, that was the point where it turned for us and we can start again, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they need to move a load of those players on, and hopefully they will.
I mean, but, sort of seeing the post-game interviews with the Villa fans on Match of the Day, seeing how people have been on Twitter as well, and we were in Birmingham on Friday for a live show, and we're obviously talking to a lot of Villa fans after the show. They're all just like, yeah, I mean, we absolutely should go down. We deserve it. It's just a complete acceptance of the situation, and you really, really feel for them, because it's not just this season, isn't it? It's been a sort of gradual decline. The past two or three seasons, things have been really, really just wrong.
Since O'Neill left, really.
Do you remember Jack Grealish? Do you remember his career?
Yeah. What international team did he declare for O'Neill? You're right about the Villa fans that we spoke to. The ones I spoke to, most of the chat was about the next manager coming in, who they were after, who they wanted. And in my experience, they're looking to the future a little bit, so that's good to see.
Yeah.
Stan Collymore was absolutely fuming. Yeah. Fuming with Joey and Lescott, wasn't he?
Yeah, in particular. But Lescott, I think, you know, with what you said after the game, there's two quotes going around. I think one of them's made up, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
There's one quote where he effectively said that, you know, it was maybe going to be a little bit of a relief for the players, and now, you know, it's that weight is off our shoulders, we can, you know, put in some performances. And
that's indoor talk, isn't it? That's not outdoor talk.
Exactly, but it was just very, very, very
that's
badly...
That's for the mummies and daddies.
Very, very badly misjudged, and Collymore called him out on it, and he sent him a message.
But one
of
the things that I thought was really funny, I didn't hear the actual rant that Collymore apparently went on, but a lot of people got in touch with the show just through the social media, saying that, like, one of the things that Collymore was really annoyed about, couldn't get over, was the fact that a couple of weeks ago, or whenever it was, he was at Southampton Airport when Villa had played Southampton, and he saw Leandro Bacuna on a Segway in the airport. Whoa. And he was like, he shouldn't be doing it. He shouldn't be on one.
It's no different. It's strange, but it's ultimately, you
it's
know,
John Motson's more of yeah, kit, isn't it? It's sort of like, I've got something. So I've got one thing. And I've got to weave it into something.
Stan Collymore sat through about 33 or 34 games of Aston Villa season as an Aston Villa fan, and that's the one thing he's picking up on.
It's indicative of a wider problem.
Yeah, segues in football. Yeah.
But if Collymore, being an ex-footballer himself, will probably... You know, people look at Leicester and we talk about the relaxed camp and so on and so forth that they have there. Now, obviously, they're winning the league, so whatever they do, people go, you see, that's what you need.
Yeah.
But if you see, what would you rather? The Aston Villa players at that, you know, Southampton Airport or wherever it was, just sat down looking at the floor, nobody saying anything
or
to anybody.
Running around with weights strapped to their legs.
Well, it doesn't really... Listen, with the obvious caveat of if you've seen them out on the
rash all
the night before
up,
a game or whatever... Everything they do and otherwise, I don't think at any point, just for a poor performance, that these players aren't entitled to their own personal lives. I mean,
Collymore should know that more than anyone else.
Absolutely.
Was that the case with people were having a go at Cristiano Ronaldo? I think Real Madrid lost the game or something, and then it was his 30th birthday.
Yeah,
and he was seen out having a bit of karaoke
after
and all
the
that.
Game.
It was a disgrace. It's like,
I mean, to be fair, Lescott shouldn't have said
what he said in
public. And I think
it's not the first time this season Lescott.
I know.
Well,
every
phone is stitching him up.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what are the logistics of bringing a Segway to an airport as well? Like, what?
Yeah. I think they might maybe dish them out to people. I mean, I don't know if it's a Segway. Might be one of those hoverboard things. Maybe, I don't know.
Right. But either way,
was it a Ronaldinho one?
People were saying Segway. I haven't seen it in my own eyes. I couldn't tell you. But someone, speaking of Leandro Bacuna, one of the listeners who came to the show in Birmingham, a guy called Miles, said that he embarrassed himself in front of Leandro Bacuna once because he saw Leandro Bacuna in some shopping centre in Birmingham. And he said he had one of those things where he turned around and wanted to say, that's Leandro Bacuna. But he got like a frog in his throat and he went, Leandro Bacuna. And apparently Leandro Bacuna turned around and went, Leandro Bacuna. As a Villa fan, he said he was absolutely mortified.
People absolutely lose their minds. My mate's telling me about someone who was hanging out with... Kate Moss. Somebody knew Kate Moss, and a mutual friend was sat. Go, oh my God, there's Kate Moss, and the guy went, I kind of know her a bit. I'll bring her over and say hello. And she came over and sat down. And this lass went, I don't like your London Look advert. I think it looks trashy.
Oh my!
She just panicked.
Oh, no.
And just said,
"John Moss,
thing.
Moment to meltdown."
Oh my goodness.
incredible.
You just sometimes lose your mind, don't you? So, yeah. Oh, my God, I'm going to say the first thing that I've... She hates me. She hates me now.
I imagine you've said the first thing that comes to your mind quite a lot. And that's
I've said this on before on the podcast, but who's the woman who's in the Austin Powers films?
Blonde Liz
hair.
Hurley. Oh, Heather Graham.
Heather Graham asked whether Heather Graham's in Peep Show.
Yeah.
I've done that on the show before.
Yeah, right. So
I will happily embarrass myself in front of celebrities. Don't worry about that.
You asked if Heather Graham was in Peep Show?
Yeah.
Right, what did she say?
We'd know.
No, I said, are you Heather Graham then? She went, yes. I went, good.
Does she know what Peep Show is?
No, it just sounds like I'm going, were you in a Peep Show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you in a Peep Show?
Well, it's probably not number one on the list of things to not say. It's probably in the top five. Yeah. It's in the top five.
I was in Amsterdam recently.
That voice doesn't help you. You've got to stop talking like that when you panic.
You really look like someone I know. Oh, in this magazine I bought.
Sunderland beat Norwich 3-0.
Oh,
what a win. Yeah. Huge win for them Mackhams. Allardyce was getting a bit shirty.
Big Sam had a cracking day out.
He did, didn't he? Yeah, Brady shoved Yedlin into the advertising hoardings.
That was nasty, that.
I would have liked to have seen a red card for that.
Would you?
It was outrageous. It was that outrageous.
Happens, you can understand Allardyce getting annoyed, but obviously because they won, Allardyce was grinning away in the post-match press conference, having a bit of a laugh about it.
Ruined some LEDs.
Earned the right, I suppose.
My favourite.
Ruined some perfectly good LEDs.
He did. He did with his head.
So somebody complained on Twitter saying, when are we going to get rid of those dangerous LED advertising hoardings? We've had advertising hoardings forever.
Get rid of the dangerous players.
Yeah. Do you understand where the wages come from?
The pitch has to stop somewhere. Can't just keep on going.
Running tracks for all.
To ensure the safety of everyone involved, the fans need to be 100 metres away from the pitch.
and the chimp section has to just stay to itself.
There needs to be bouncy castles everywhere. But the great thing about that Norwich and Sunderland sort of dust up was that, did you notice, as soon as Big Eunice Cabal turned up on the scene, everyone calmed down. Yeah. It was like the school bully turning up in the sixth form common room. He's just a massive man. Yeah. The whole thing just calmed down as soon as Cabal got in there.
Yeah, that's right.
You, Sunderland really did show some fight. There's a point where Lee Catamol just cleared one in the box. It's brilliant.
He cleared off the line and he just went.
But it was just screaming, like proper primal scream therapy type noise. And you could see the rest of the team was really galvanised by that. And they're showing something that they need at this exact stage.
When when Sunderland are narrowly winning and they absolutely have to win, they're a little bit under siege. That's when Catamol loves it.
That's why he's at Sunderland.
He doesn't want his team to be tuning up and cruising. He wants them to be like, the Alamo.
You can imagine him getting, dare I even say, aroused watching the last 10 minutes of Atletico Madrid match when they're 1-0 up against the big opponent.
That's a bit of him, definitely. He wants to be there. He wants to play under Simeone.
That's the zenith.
He wants to run himself into the ground for Simeone. That's all he's ever wanted.
Yeah. But that's what we all want, though, don't we? When we look inside ourselves.
Yeah, that, right?
That chance late on where Watmore and Villa and Defoe managed to sort of... Well, it's really in Villa's fault, but they fluffed it. They made a great break and then Villa just waited.
They were 2-0 at the time, though.
Yeah, but he waited till he was straying offside. That's the sort of chance... You've got to be ready to put all of those chances away at this stage of the season.
Especially when goal difference is going to count as well.
Yeah,
probably.
Absolutely. Watmore made a great run at the end.
But it was a huge statement from Sunderland.
We've said, and I think I've said, Sunderland look more likely to climb out than any other team.
Well, they've been drawing a lot of games, of course. And obviously losing some as well, hence the down there. But to go away to a fellow struggler in a 25-pointer.
An informed struggler.
Absolutely. And to win 3-0.
Well, what was ideal for them was that Catamol and Barini had probably... Well, Catamol's putting fires out all over the place. He was fantastic.
And creating some.
Barini had his best game of the season by miles. He was such a handful, and Defoe really benefited from that.
But they have these players.
They do, absolutely, of course. Yeah.
You know, Sunderland play Arsenal next, then Stoke and Chelsea. So they've got a tough one. And then Everton and Watford. Whereas Norwich, I mean, Arsenal, Manchester United, Watford and Everton. Is Arsenal a tough match these days?
Arse cry.
Yeah. whereas Newcastle, there is an ounce of hope, Peter.
No, I don't think there is.
Well, statistically there is.
Statistically there is, yeah. But I think Sunderland are more likely to climb out.
Okay.
Well, I think Newcastle will take the line. I think Newcastle might end up climbing over Norwich and get the third place, but they'll still go down.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. We're going to talk more about the relegation scrap after this.
Watch yourself, it's the Ramble Boys, chucking out the banks, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
It was nice for Benitez on his birthday to get the win, though.
He just wanted a bit of cake.
He wanted a bit of cake in peace. Because if he was eating cake on his birthday and they hadn't won the game, Stan Collymore would have had something to say about that.
It was the first. It was the first Andros Townsend call. He scored two before, and they've both been absolutely raspers.
Yeah.
And this is the first time he's been able to celebrate a goal because they've always been like 3-1 down or 4-0 down.
Mitrovic made a big difference, didn't he?
Well, he did. He clattered. He clattered someone down in Andros Townsend.
Yeah.
Was it fair to say when he ran through that player like that? It was Ronaldo-esque.
No, because the shot he had about 3 minutes earlier was bloody awful.
There's only a slight resemblance here, so you guys Shearer might not agree with me. No, not Shearer. Mitrovic looks like he could be like an evil Messi from a different universe.
Okay, yeah.
So it's only a slight...
Facially?
Yeah, it's a slight thing in there.
It's the eyebrows. Eyebrows.
And actually that run as well, where he just bundled through, was like an evil Messi.
I mean, he could have taken Messi, past the player, but he decided to just take it through the player and knock the player down.
Wait, I'm not having... Listen, Marcus has tried to talk you up earlier about Newcastle's chances. They've just come off the back of a big 3-0 win. You should be in better spirits.
They've got Man City chances.
Okay, so this is my next point. So they're 3 points from safety. Now, Sunderland have a much better goal difference. Well, at this stage of the season, a much better goal difference.
But winning 3-0 helped Newcastle, them, I think, than to climb over Norwich.
And also it helped with Norwich's goal difference, because Norwich's goal difference is just one in it between them and Newcastle. Now, the Mags have Manchester City, of course, and then away to Liverpool. So two very tough fixtures. However, Norwich have got Arsenal and Manchester United, and Sunderland...
One very tough fixture.
Yeah, Sunderland have Arsenal and Stoke, and then Chelsea. After that, Newcastle have Palace and Villa.
Mm.
Now, okay, they have Spurs on the final day, but, you know, there's...
Palace could... I mean, I know they drew that match and they're probably not going to get sucked in, but if...
Palace will be safe by then.
Yeah,
but... safe by then.
There's no chance of Palace getting sucked in. The problem is...
With Pardo, though.
But I'm looking at that and I think that Palace and Villa, now, it could be finished by then. You know, two games. But look at the others have tough fixtures as well.
But Pete, what were the positives to draw from?
The positives were Jamal LaSalle's performances in the last two matches, off the field particularly. I think I said it before, there are no players for me that fit into the Joey Barton, the Kevin Nolan, the Andy Carroll, the strong personalities that got us back from the Championship into the Premier League. It was one of the situations last time they got relegated. We needed those players to, you know, grab people by the balls and drag them back in the Premier League. Jamal LaSalle's, genuinely, I wish he had a better defender to learn his trade off a little bit. Yeah. He's a 22-year-old lad from Derby, signed from Nottingham Forest like a year ago or something.
And
Sissoko didn't want to talk to the press. Coloccini didn't want to talk to the press last time. Nobody wanted to talk to the press, but this young lad went, this isn't good, this is crap. You know, we are crap at the moment and we shouldn't be in this position. It's a disgrace, blah, blah, blah. And it's all lip service. I take it, you know, if someone like Sissoko says that, it's lip service. But if he says that, I think he's got captaincy written all over him.
The reason I asked the question, I mean, I have to admit, I wasn't expecting an answer that long, but I thought you were going to say
right, snake in a bun, mate.
Nothing.
Snake in a bun.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I wouldn't be happy about, but because I thought that I said a couple of weeks ago on the show that I thought Newcastle were a bit better than their results suggested, and you said no. I'm not saying I was right or anything, but what
Swansea were pretty bloody
they
awful.
They were, but I thought I saw a team who was sort of starting to take on board some different ideas, and they looked a little bit different to what they were like under McLaren, which is obviously a good thing because they were terrible under McLaren. I wonder if it's come a little bit too late, but the problem is we're talking about Newcastle, Sunderland, and Norwich like that. That we have been there. Mm. Only one of those teams can get out of it. Yeah. Not two, only one.
Yeah.
So it's already going to be very, very tough. And Sunderland with Big Sam at the helm, they had a platform to build on. So they got about three or four draws in a row, didn't they? Very interesting.
I think Sunderland will escape it, and I think Norwich will get dragged
in. We're talking about that Sunderland have got Big Sam, and absolutely, you've also got Benitez now.
I know.
And look at the way, you know, he took Mitrovic and Shelvey out the side. Two of their, you know, more dangerous players.
Yeah, but they were hanging on from... when did we score the first goal? I mean, but they were hanging on with the 1-0 and it was looking pretty shaky at times.
And when they
made the change and put the players back on...
They won 3-0.
They eventually scored two more goals. So his original idea didn't really work.
Is it Newcastle who play Spurs on the final day?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, so imagine if it's Newcastle versus Spurs, and if Spurs win, they win the league, and if Newcastle win, they stay up. What a game!
Yeah.
That better be on TV.
And Spurs would definitely win it.
Yeah, they would.
Crying out loud. Oh, dear.
But as calcified as my love for that club is, you're right off your team when you're down the doldrums or whatever.
Because
there's still something about supporting.
You.
There's still something about that supporting a football team that even when they score their third goal, I was like, "Oh, I still got excited." And I'm going, "This result means very little,
Peter."
You can't play that down.
Of course, given the result from some of that,
I'm not doing a press conference, guys. I'm not part of the team,
Peter. But presumably, when Newcastle play Spurs in the final day of the season, if Spurs beat them to win the league and relegate Newcastle, presumably you'll still be happy for Spurs. It's an amazing achievement for them.
Don't worry about it, Peter.
No, I'm not biting.
We're going to talk about Watford. They've reached 41 points.
That's a good effort.
Can we be happy for them? They've the same points as Everton, for crying out loud. Gomez saved two pens from Berahino. Yeah. I like Gomez.
I love
He's a character.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I like watching.
Never boring.
The 40 point thing annoys me because it's not important 40 points for a while now. 40 points, you have to get the 40 points, you don't. But they've done well to get there.
It's still a landmark.
They haven't, but they haven't needed to do that to stay up. They've been up for a while, in reality.
I know, but still, if they had, targets and goals and whatnot.
No, true, that's true. The reason I like watching West Brom highlights or West Brom games on TV is because you always get the soundtrack of Tony Pulis just doing this all game. Seidel! 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 And it was especially loud this time because he obviously missed two penalties.
He was fair in the press.
He was, but Pulis treats Seidel like a son, doesn't he? So sometimes he's very nice, sometimes he's very harsh, depending on what he thinks he needs for his development. But he does treat him like a son. And all game, he's just going, Seidel! Seidel! All the other players must think, wish he'd notice me as well.
Oh, dear me. Should we move on to the Championship? There's been some interesting things going on down there. Middlesbrough beat Bolton 2-1. Mm. Jordan Rhodes insured.
Another late one.
Top of the, he's got a
leaving it late, guys.
Yeah. Well, it was a brilliant snapshot on the rebound for Jordan Rhodes' first goal.
Felt
like an MC there. Snapshot on the rebound.
Paid a bit of money for Rhodes. He's paying them back.
Yeah, $9 million it was.
Yeah, who set up the winning
goal? Who laid on the winner after coming off the bench?
Difference?
Yeah, who made the difference?
There we are. Who else got an assist in that game, specifically for Bolton?
Not sure.
Big Emil Heskey.
Did he?
Hey.
He was actually quite a good pundit for the Leicester game.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it. He was very honest. I enjoyed what he was talking about. Because you thought he'd be really pro-Leicester, but he actually wasn't. He was all right,
Sorry to cut in there, but Jordan Rhodes has had a little bit of a rough time at Middlesbrough. Because they obviously bought him to score goals, which he started doing now. But I think it's 4 goals in 14 games, 10 of those are starts. And he seems to have lost a little bit of confidence there, which is absolutely not what Middlesbrough needed at that time. But he's kicked on, and that's good to see.
All sorts went on at Middlesbrough. I mean, there was talk that a couple of the signs brought in by Steve Gibson weren't Karanka signings, so he wasn't playing them. He wanted to stick with one up front, and then certain parts of the club, and including Steve Gibson, as far as I know, were saying to Karanka, "Why aren't you picking Rhodes? Why aren't you picking him?" And that's when Karanka had that meltdown a number of weeks ago, when he went in there and said, "Don't like it, I'll leave if you want." And he basically called their bluff.
Yeah.
He said, if you keep trying to tell me who to pick, I'm not going to stay here. And they eventually sorted it out. And ever since then, he's been able...
They've won 6 on the bounce.
Yeah, and he's been able to carry on picking the players he wants to pick.
And they're top of the league.
And they're doing it, and it's worked out fine. So good luck to them. You know, it'd be funny if they're... I know, Pete, you won't agree, but it'd be funny if Middlesbrough become the sole North East representative in the Premier League next season.
I think they deserve to be there, to be fair, if Newcastle and Sunderland have conducted themselves. And certainly how Sunderland have done the last few seasons, and Newcastle as well, to a less extent.
True, but Sunderland have flirted with it for a while, haven't they? But Middlesbrough, I think, have still got to play Burnley and Brighton.
Yeah.
So it's in their hands.
Well, it looks like two from those three that are going to get automatic.
If it's say Middlesbrough, Brighton, and Derby come up in the playoffs, that'll be like the nearly men all in one season. Mm. Be interesting to see how they go on.
Mm. That'd be great. Mm. I think it'd be great.
Yeah. Well, Burnley obviously remain hot on Borough's heels.
Yeah. Burnley.
Andre Gray with another goal.
He's a great championship scorer.
Brighton
have done very well because they started off so well. They didn't lose for ages. Then they dropped off a cliff.
And often when teams do that, then
they've gone. Yeah. But they've battled their way back in.
Doing a Forest.
Well, Hemed has got a hat trick against Fulham. He's been doing very well indeed. Sheffield Wednesday, they drew one with Ipswich. Lovely story from this one with Andre Dizel, 16-year-old Andre Dizel, on his debut scored for Ipswich. Quite incredibly, his father, Jason Dizel, Spurs fans will remember him, scored on his debut for Ipswich at the age of 16.
As soon as I saw Andre Dizel, I thought, it's got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it's got to be. There's no other man on earth who's got that name.
And, Spurs Hall of Famer, Jason Dizel.
Yeah. Jason Dizel is still the youngest scorer in English top flight history.
16 years and 57 days.
Yeah. So I think his son's 16...
350 days.
Already playing catch-up.
Yeah.
Wins of the father.
But when you take into account... That was good, actually.
Excellent. That was better. Well done. Yeah.
When you take into account that Andre Mariner awarded the penalty against Andre Wisdom at the Norwich game, and now Andre Dizel scored for Ipswich, has there ever been a more Andre-heavy... game weekend of football?
I can't think of one.
We've got an emailer called Andre as
well. Have we really?
So later on, look out for that.
Is it from Andre, who plays for Porto?
No, I think he's still
at Porto. Anything to do with Andre the Giant?
Andros Townsend is almost Andre.
Mm. Yeah, not the same though, is it?
He got involved and he got a goal, didn't he?
he did.
Andre Ayew must have
played for Swansea, didn't he?
He did that day.
Awful. Did he?
Who knows?
Get your Andres in.
If we descended to this, just naming Andres, all of whom are called Andre. It's not even hard.
All right, Jim. Just say Andre. Right. I can see him.
You've got to come in here. You've got to come in here stomping around with Andre the Giant.
Right, Leeds beat Reading. Steve Evans is still in charge at Elland Road. I had to check that.
Nice to get an update.
I had to check that.
Nice to get an
absolutely
update.
Torpedoed that average, isn't he?
Yeah.
I thought he'd go on a certain date, and he's well outlasted. Yeah.
What is it, 7 managers in 2 years? Is that what it is?
He's apparently, according to the Mail, Chilean is lining up Fabio Cannavaro to take over, so he'll be the 7th one in 2 years if that happens.
So 6 in 2 years is essentially 1 every 4 months. So how long Steve has been there? About 4 months, isn't he?
Is it longer?
Maybe a bit longer.
I think it is longer. Yeah. He would have been due around end of January, start of February.
And you're probably thinking, Fabio Cannavaro, would that really be a good appointment?
He's my crush. Remember we did football crushes? I think he was my crush.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
Therefore, you must quite like Jake Gyllenhaal as well.
Does he look like Jake
Gyllenhaal?
They look
similar. They do look similar.
Yeah. Well, if you're wondering, Cannavaro, is he a good choice? I mean, he does have limited experience of the UAE League, the Chinese League, and the Saudi Arabian League. So, surely equipped for the great Leeds United.
One of the biggest clubs in British football history. Yeah.
Did you say, shouldn't we laugh?
No, we're laughing at the ridiculousness of Cellino because
it's not Leeds.
Well, didn't he week he was saying that I can't be sexist because I ran two women's football teams? Yeah. Yeah, it was proper like, how can I be sexist? My mother was one. And we've got a female lawyer that is defending me in this very case.
And there's a girl there. I saw her.
So this gives me loads of free passes.
And I'm wearing tights. Woo! Lifts up his legs. He's got little fishies on. Lovely.
My goodness. Looking at the table, the championship table, you'd expect Charlton and MK Dons to go down with Bolton at this.
Yeah, it's a big gap.
It is a big gap.
MK Dons, the striker went and gone and saved a penalty.
Oh, did he? Yeah, yeah,
that
was
brilliant. Beautiful.
First time that's happened in a very, very long time.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
It was a good save as well. It wasn't like, it wasn't drilled down the middle. It was a top-class save.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
As good as Gomez's second one.
No, it wasn't, but it was similar, actually.
But he's not a goalkeeper. So.
Did you hear, who is it? Which Watford player? Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Jermaine Jennings who was saying, you should see Herrera Gomez's arms. They are unbelievably long. Yeah. It's horrible.
Oh, in training, they used to practice penalties.
Hasn't he saved two penalties in a Premier League game before?
He has. Against Darren Bent, was it?
Against Aston Villa, wasn't it? For Spurs, I think so, yeah. It was definitely against Bent.
Yeah, I think
it might have been Villa, might have been Fulham, not sure.
Sunderland would have been the other one Bent played for.
Bent's played for loads of clubs, didn't he?
Yes.
But he definitely was against Darren Bent, I remember it.
Let's go to League Two, because Northampton Town have won the league with four games to spare. They're very impressive. Dagenham and Redbridge, sadly, they've been relegated out of the Football League.
Yeah.
Which is not good to see.
Do you remember I tried to bring you guys, it didn't work because you guys weren't interested, and that's fair enough, but yeah. I tried to bring a trope to the ramble that Portsmouth always concede goals in the last 15 minutes of games.
By what? Trope, do you mean fact?
Yeah.
Well, you got it wrong, though, because they didn't concede one in the last few minutes, did they?
Conceded two. 1-0 up in the 84th minute at home to Plymouth, who are one place above them.
And it was a Muth derby.
It's a dockyard, famously the dockyard derby. No one cares.
Yeah, exactly.
Sky Sports gave it that title, I think.
That was like that friendly cup thing between Norwich and Sunderland. What was that about? Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Did you see that? Oh, it was strange. They were going on about some sort of friendly cup or something.
Speaking of Norwich, we did get a tweet over the weekend saying, like, oh, I'm an American football fan. I've only just started watching football. Why are all Norwich fans so old? The way he said it was like he thought there would be like an explanation for it.
No, he's probably looking at the footage cut into Delia Smith and her husband.
Maybe, yeah.
They're not that old.
No, but they seem to have prominence, don't they? And they're older than the average football fan. I bet that's why that is.
Delia Smith will be 70 now, I reckon.
Is she really?
I think so, yeah. I'd say so.
Oh, right.
I don't know if that's what he meant. He just said he had noticed it as an observation. He thought there would be an explanation. Still, like, oh, yeah, Norwich, they're well known for their old fans. I don't know.
I didn't realise she was that. Well, clearly, it's all about the diet, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more about British football after this.
Louis van Gaal, you got management master, the king amongst men, you big bald bastard.
Don't forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 in your ears this Friday morning. It promises to be a great one.
And Pete didn't bother turning up for last week's one.
What?
And we did a Mitrovic tip to jinx him.
And he didn't start.
No, he didn't start the game, did he?
Didn't start the game.
Is that what you were doing? Fixing it?
I had to stay off because I was covering someone's paternity leave. So have some respect for a lady giving birth, all right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Not me disrespecting you.
Yeah. It was Luke.
Mm. I know.
Old Massimo Cellino over there.
don't bring me into it.
What have you got against the X chromosome?
That's low, pig. By you. That's low.
Yeah, let's move on to the Scottish Cup. Scenes at Hampden. Well, quite boring scenes, really, in the first game. Hibs versus Dundee United. They won't mind me saying 0-0. But it was all about Conrad Logan, the Irish keeper. His last professional game was in 2014 for Rochdale in League One. And he suffered a very bad injury and was released by his parent club, Leicester. And apparently Hibbs' first-choice keeper was suspended and Alan Stubbs got Logan in on a short-term deal until May. So he only got him in for a few months. He was man of the match. Great performance, saved two penalties in the shootout. And it was quite nice because Stubbs...
Came in for a shootout.
That's what he came for.
Yeah.
Stubbs said that Logan, on as they walked off the pitch, he actually thanked Alan Stubbs. Mm. And Stubbs was like, no, I should be thanking you, mate.
Did you see Cummings' penalty in the first half?
Oh, yeah.
He's gone for the Panenka and it's got about 3 feet over the bar.
Anything that makes you look stupid.
No. To be fair to Cummings, he did score in the shootout, in the penalty shootout. But, I mean, I think he might have taken the first penalty in the shootout as well.
Yeah.
But
did he go for Panenka?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, weird, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Was he on a swagware?
It was so bad. It was honestly such a bad penalty. It was bad. The only way a Panenka could be worse is if the keeper just stands there and catches it.
Yeah.
And
you're doing a Panenka in the Scottish football environs. Yeah, I mean, you're not. It's not the World Cup, is it?
What
come
have
on,
you got to get Scottish people.
You're at Hampden Park, mate. Yeah.
Actually, though, I think rather than the keeper catching it,
Luke sexist.
Keeper doing,
stop it. I think we'd all like to hear more from Jim.
Yeah.
Go on, Jimbo.
I won't get back in the kitchen.
You've never been in my kitchen. You haven't.
I know, we started in the old kitchen.
Oh, yeah. True,
Don't listen to his...
Yeah, what I was going to say is I think the only way that it could be more embarrassing with a Panenka penalty is if the goalkeeper Scorpion kicked it away.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I'd love to see that.
I think that would be probably impossible to execute.
That would be a different class.
Hibs, I think Hibs have been in 10 Scottish Cup finals since they last won it.
Is that right?
So they won it last in 1902.
1902.
Yeah, and they've been in 10 finals since and not won it.
1902 was the last time Hibs won the Scottish Cup.
Wow.
That is incredible. That's amazing, isn't it?
Are you pulling for them this time round?
They've been in two finals recently and they were soundly beaten by Celtic and the Magnificents, of course.
Yeah.
But they will be facing neither of those sides because Rangers sensationally beat Celtic. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. What a scalp.
Because didn't they play... I think they played recently in
the
Scottish
Cup. Was
there
a rivalry between them or something?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, and some history.
Okay.
I think, if my memory serves me correctly, was it last year or the year before last or something, Rangers played Celtic in the Cup and it was like, oh, you know,
It was an absolutely terrible game.
Yeah, and Celtic, I think, brushed them aside, did they?
It was. I tell you what I do remember from it. It was like a pub game. It was awful.
Well, here, Rangers led twice and then obviously won on penalties. I mean, they might...
So it's an all-championship final.
It is.
I know Rangers have been promoted, possibly, but technically they're still a championship.
That may be for the first time ever, actually, just off the top of my head. That is quite something.
As you say, that's a huge, huge scalp for them, because obviously, especially if they go on to win the Cup, because then they're back in the SPL, they've claimed that scalp already, and then it's, just as we left off, rivalry immense.
Yeah, that's right.
Scottish Premiership now, Jim, not the SPL anymore, mate.
Mm, that's true.
Let's have a bit of respect for Scottish football.
And branding in general.
Like I have for all women.
All women, right?
Yeah.
Oh, affirmative action, eh?
Yeah.
They can do anything they want and it's fine with you.
Yeah. Mm. But Andre Felipe Ribeiro de Souza.
Oh, yeah.
There's another Andre.
That's right.
Plays for the Brazilian national team, apparently.
Mm. What about Andre Marin?
What do you think about his mum? What do you think about his sisters? And his...
Stop this. Even I'm saying stop this.
Yeah, even Peter is. Yeah.
When
he's
Pete
the worst
says
one.
Stop this, you've got to stop.
Yeah, so it was a good win for Rangers.
Pete no means Pete no.
Against Hibs in the Scottish Cup, we all look forward to that one. Let's go to Nigeria. We talked about this in the live show. Former Spurs manager Harry Redknapp is wanted by Nigeria to be their next manager, according to reports and an email. I may have made that last bit up. Nigeria failed to qualify for the Africa Cup of Nations and are not in good shakes, quite frankly. Sports Minister Solomon Dalung said, Nigerians cannot accept any reason for failure from anybody. And Redknapp will certainly not... take the blame for any defeat if he indeed goes there. After this abysmal performance, it's important we return to the drawing board to plan for the future of football in Nigeria. And Redknapp is a man for the future.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't actually agree with that.
Yeah. So, Redders, it would actually be quite nice.
A little world tour of international management.
Mm. Sven's done it. All the best ones.
It's Avram Grant who's managing Ghana, but spending no time in Ghana.
That's right.
And Nigeria think they could go on the same route with Barry Redknapp. Harry Redknapp will never even visit Nigeria.
He'll only manage away games.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though.
Friendlies in Europe.
It's a similar thing to Avram Grant's situation.
Can you get down to Craven Cottage?
Well, most of the players won't be based there. So, you can't just have just jollies washing them around Europe.
But, Jim, you've got qualifiers happen in the country.
I know that. You know that. Remember who we're talking about.
All we're saying is that if Redknapp was going to get anywhere near that job, the Nigerian Football Federation are going to have to make some concessions.
He's not even going to go watch any of the players play in Europe. He'll just be like, got in the five-star hotels they stay in.
That's right.
Jamie to show him YouTube.
Shout out to my mate Blair, who said he reported that his manager saw Harry Redknapp up in Derby a while back.
Oh, yeah.
And he was apparently living at the golf club.
Lovely.
He's living at a golf club.
The scene is so typically Redknapp.
Yeah, I love this story.
Was dictating texts through Siri. And was sitting there with his feet up, getting people bringing him, like, I don't know, pina coladas or whatever, bringing him drinks over and stuff. He's living at the... Yeah, little Lima doing it. He's living at the golf club. So
that guy's got gout tipped, on, he really... It's in the post.
You're not a medical professional, Peter.
That's probably what's wrong with his legs.
Gout.
How do you know he's got something wrong with... He's got a bodgy knee. That's not knees.
Knees are in your legs.
Gout's the toe, though. Gout's the toe, famously.
No, not famously.
All of it. Is it all of it? All I remember.
Women, doctors, who are you going to disrespect next?
It's the joints, apparently. I'm being told it's the joints.
I was telling you this.
Yeah. What I was going to say was, I remember Graham Souness famously getting gout, and he cut a big hole in his trainer, didn't he? I remember his white sock sticking out the end of his trainer when he was a Liverpool manager.
Big
gout. Old Suey.
Gout in the modern
era? Too much of a good life, isn't it?
It's just dehydration. You just need to keep hydrated. That's why alcohol's linked to it.
Build up a little crystals in the bloodstream, isn't it? Which affects the... I thought it was the toe, but apparently it's all
too much of the good life.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
I've got gout! No, I haven't really. I'm just overweight. I'm going to make sure that everyone who sends a highlight in the week this week is going to get read out. So that's not true. We've only got four. Zach Forrester, or shall we call him for the sake of this show, Andre Forrester.
Yes.
Says, my heart of the week was leading a chant. This is a weird one, actually. You guys
won't what is this in here?
You guys won't want to explain it. Leading a chant for the first time at our club's first friendly of pre-season. So presumably he's not in the UK. As we scored 30 seconds into the second half, and the guy who usually leads the songs wasn't back from drinking Jameson's in his car.
He went back to his car to drink Jameson's?
No, no, no.
Oh,
Wow.
Pete, you're probably best place to comment on this.
What, car bar? Pete's famous car bar.
There's no passenger seat.
Just a little
bar.
You haven't passed your test, have you?
No.
Turn your car into a bar.
Because I insisted on my driving instructor holding a bottle of Baileys.
You just hold this optic. Thanks for that, Andre Forrester. Andre Irwin's been in touch saying, big shop update.
Give his proper name.
James Irwin.
Thank you.
But his friends call him Andre.
Yeah.
Big shop update. During a pretty major sweep of the aisles yesterday, I decided to take up my local supermarket's offer of a cheap 10-kilogram kettlebell.
Oh!
On my walk home, carrying the weight in my free hand, I passed the car, stopped at traffic lights, heard knocking at the window, and turned to see three middle-aged women in the car doing their very best bicep curls, encouraging me to do the same. Still got it.
Not really a big shop tip, just a weird brag.
Buy a kettlebell.
Yeah.
Buy a kettlebell.
Impresses ladies.
It's not officially endorsed by the Football Ramble, that's a big shop tip. Andre Walsh says...
Proper name as well.
David Walsh. Definitely Preston versus MK Dons with an outfield player, Alex Ravel, a striker going in goal after their keeper conceded a penalty and got a red card.
Yeah.
He saved the penalty with a great dive low to his left. Apparently, as we touched on earlier... according to Andre Walsh, he says he's the first to do it since Niall Quinn about 20 years ago.
Oh, lovely.
Niall Quinn did it last.
Andre Quinn.
And this is a great one. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's been doing the rounds on the internet, but I thought it was too good to leave off. The person who sent it into us first, so he gets to mention, is a guy called Andre. And he... Alex Denver, who says, my highlight is Ray Wilkins on TalkSport regarding whether Newcastle should have given Benitez the job. There's lots of young British coaches who would give their right arm for that job. Well, not literally. Apologies if I offended anyone with that comment.
Just too safe.
I love the idea of like a 50s man just being overwhelmed by what's politically correct. What is it? Just going, really? I'm going to be safe here. I'm going to play it safe.
Dave Whelan sitting at home going, oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll chop my own arm off. Yeah.
Sorry, and he goes on to use the coloured word in the next sentence. Oh, Ray, for crying out loud.
Good old Wilco.
You got a lot to take on if you're an older man.
That's lovely.
Then we're done.
I love the idea that he thinks there's someone out there who once gave away literally one of their own arms for a job. He doesn't want to offend them. It's just a saying, Ray.
Yeah, good lord.
It's just a saying, Andre Wilkins.
There we are.
Mm. I'm done. That's me done.
Yeah, I've got a highlight.
Okay.
It was Sean Dyche after the Burnley game where he was basically pointing, I think, to the bench, to the fans, to everyone, to his own jaw, going, strong jaw, strong jaw. Just to show that, you know, Burnley can mix it up and they've got what it takes. I love it.
I think someone just punched him and he didn't flinch and he was like,
he wouldn't.
That's strong jaw.
Sean Dyche is like a bit of an underrated sort of new age David Brent type character, isn't he?
Yeah.
The little box beard and everything like that, yeah.
Not what he says, though.
He's pointing to his own face, shouting strong jaw after a game. That's pretty Brenty.
That's the actions of a man who belongs on the fringes of our society. Yeah.
Not as bad as Cammy. Because Kamara's very, very Brent thing.
It's true, yeah.
Don't
you know I don't drink? That one.
Oh, Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's great.
That was beautiful.
The thing is, it's very hard to hate on Chris Kamara.
Oh, of course.
He's a very enthusiastic man.
Yeah,
he's an infectious man.
I've got a highlight. It was nice to see Totti scoring for Roma.
Really?
Yeah, he got the equaliser. 3-3 away to Atalanta, I think.
Is he now officially considering coming out of international retirement?
the Euros are near.
Exactly.
Pete, do we have any emails?
We do. My highlight of the week, by the way, is Sean Davies, Ramble fan. It was good to see the Ramble on, tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
Or today, as you're listening to this. See us live in London, but he broke both of his ankles.
Oh, yeah,
and he sent a picture. It was horrible.
It looked like he had a lot of...
That was your highlight?
Surgery. Sean Davies, get well soon.
It wasn't his highlight, was it?
No.
Unless he's had a very bad week.
You should see the other days.
This is the best thing that happened to me.
Right, I've got some emails.
Yeah,
bummer week for, celebrity spots and all that stuff.
Oh, here we go.
Hello to a man by the name of Yogurt. He's just called himself Yogurt. Andre Yogurt. I'm 17 from Ireland, a huge football fan. For the past month, my father has been trying the best to get him, my brother and himself 3 tickets for Ireland versus Italy at Euro 2016. He's taken me to the Aviva 3 times before and we're all huge football fans. After a month of trying, last Thursday, he managed to get us the tickets and we are all buzzing. I was hoping, could you give him a thanks? We're both massive fans. So I think his name might be Ken. I've lost the email now.
Well done,
but
Andre.
If you are going to finish your email saying yours faithfully, Yogurt, that's what I'm going to put into the roundup.
I've got another... Speaking of that, I've got a feel-good story. My sister's best friend's son was mascot at the Chelsea-Man City game.
Oh, OK.
And they dish you out a ticket or two to go along so you can watch your son lead the team out. And he came out with Ivanovic. But there was a couple of people who wanted to go as well and couldn't go because there weren't enough tickets. And Bakary Sagna gave him 2 tickets.
Oh, lovely.
Man City player gave the Chelsea fans 2 tickets.
That's
very
nice
of him to do so, yeah. I thought that should get immense.
Good egg, Sonny.
Come on, watch us hammer you.
Yeah.
Right. Watch this.
Oh, thanks very much for the tickets. You won't be saying that in an hour.
Keep your eyes open.
Sergio Aguero just doing the odd, I'm watching you.
These are for you. All of these are for you.
Adam Pedley says, great show as always. We don't usually read that out, but I have, so.
It's not even true, is it?
No, it really isn't. Two glaring errors. You know, he's given us the sweet stuff and then the knockout punch. Toby Anstis never presented Blue Peter. Don't confuse the millennials out there. Two, Allardyce has been relegated as a manager, Notts County, in 1997. He did smash it the next year, become the first post-war side to achieve promotion by March. The whole football world seems to have forgotten that he was previously relegated.
And Allardyce has forgotten that.
Yeah. Well, so now we know.
I'm
so
less bothered about the Allardyce thing. I'm absolutely convinced Anstis presented Blue Peter. I'm just Wikipedia in it now.
I don't think he did. No, he did. Anstis didn't do Blue Peter.
He was in the broom cupboard, wasn't he?
With Wilson the butler and Ed the duck.
Yeah, that's how kids' TV used to be over here. It would just be men in broom cupboards with animals.
He hosted The Ozone.
Right.
That's what
Jamie Theakston did.
We've got one from Mark from Australia.
Are we literally doing every email we've received this week?
Yeah, pretty much. And you'll say that when this one finishes.
Has he seen Crocodile Dundee?
Hello, guys. I've taken the trouble to register an account to let you know that I've listened to your podcast every week and twice a week recently for 4 years or so. However, I'm now giving up on it. I enjoy when people take the piss out of my club, Chelsea, because football is meant to be a laugh. But there's a difference between taking the piss and actively gloating about relegation and comments about what a loathsome club it is. You've given me a lot of laughs over the last 4 years, but I'm too angry with you now to take any further pleasure from it. If someone gives me a hard time at the pub, my usual tactic is to finish my drink, then find another bar, rather than start a fight.
Does that often happen to him?
In Australia it is, maybe. I don't know.
Does that often happen to him?
In this case, I won't finish the metaphorical drink. Just unsubscribe from the podcast, then cancel the account with your website that I set up to send this email. Good luck for your future. I mean...
Oh, thank you.
We don't provide email accounts.
A bit passive aggressive, the end bit there.
Yeah. And insincere.
Yeah. What was his name?
His name's Mark, and from the email address that he set up with the website that we don't provide. Does he not have an email?
Emails are available to
anyone. Anyway, Mark, thank you for your.
He's not going to hear this.
If Mark doesn't see the funny side of the Premier League champions flirting with relegation, he's got no hope.
Yeah.
Well, he's a Chelsea fan, and he's been listening to us for 4 years. I would worry for his sanity.
He must find himself in a lot of accidental pub crawls.
It's nice to hear from a listener, and you know, thanks very much for your feedback.
Yeah.
Can we be mates?
Right, okay.
Is Mark a friend of the Ramble?
Friend of the Ramble, Mark.
Mark from Australia, friend of the Ramble. Right, yeah. here's some seeing celebrities in weird places.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom saw Alan Kirbyshe staring at a photograph of himself for ages in a canteen. Thank you, Tom.
Didn't happen.
Hardeep did. What do you mean?
Didn't happen.
What do you mean?
That cannot have happened.
What do you mean?
Staring at a photo of himself.
The long email, it was just he works at a place near the Premier League productions and they share a cafe with the Premier League.
If that happened, someone needs to stage an intervention for Alan Kirby. I'm not trying to belittle the emailer. I'm just worried about Alan Kirby.
Apparently, he turned around and smiled.
Did he?
Knowingly.
What, the photo?
Was he looking at the photo to check out to smile?
Maybe.
When they looked closer, he had torn a hole in the mouth and put his tongue through it.
is there some sort of Dorian Gray situation
going on?
Literary reference, Mark. Thank you very much.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Not an Oasis look. Hardeep did a wee next to Zidane and asked him for a photograph while he was mid-floor.
That's a Marcus story.
Say that again.
I've conflated two stories. You met Zidane.
You're very suspicious of our listeners.
Say that one again, Pete, sorry.
You can't trust him.
Hardeep
did
a wee next to Zidane and asked him for a photograph while he was urinating.
Well, surely in a toilet.
Yeah,
so.
He wasn't just weeing in the
deep, weird thing.
Deeply inappropriate.
He wasn't weeing off the top tier. Have a bit of this then.
He nearly pissed jousted with Zidane.
Yeah, a little bit. Well,
very brave.
Well, the longer story is that he didn't need a wee, but he thought, I'll just stand next to him, so I said I've done a wee. But he was just not even weeing because he didn't need one.
Ah, stage frighting.
Fascinating. Yeah. Darren in Riyadh met Rene Higuita. He was so drunk, all he could say was, Rene, big fan, scorpion kick. To which he replied, no English, with a handshake and walked off.
I imagine Rene Higuita gets that an awful lot.
Yeah, I'd love to meet Rene.
No English.
I imagine Rene Higuita, as not a day's gone past, we haven't regretted doing that.
Actually, if I met Rene Higuita, I'd think to myself, what circumstances have led me to the same place that you're in?
Yeah.
Something's gone wrong in my life.
I could be in trouble here.
Yeah. And Scorpions must get annoyed with him.
None of these have beaten Pele and Rick Winsworth yet.
No.
Andre, the bartender, saw Prince buying jazz CDs, and the goddess that is Tatiana Ali, she drinks the excellent Chime Blue Beer, which I haven't personally tried, but Andre says it's very good. We've got Sam Dungan, he saw Robbie Mustard in America. He says he looks very English, no offence. Some offence. Yeah.
He's on ESPN
some
out there, I think.
Yeah, he is. Ollie Smith says, on a shopping trip to Manchester, I literally bumped into Alvaro Negredo in the children's section of Zara. Neither of us were accompanied by anyone, and he was on crutches. After apologising, there was an odd silence before he declared, I have children.
Oh, he's protesting too much.
Yeah. Amazed, I went and... and there's a little nude chimpanzee running around. It's a child, just a hairy child. amazed, I went and found my sister at HMV and told her of this unusual happening. While doing so, Jack Rodwell walked past holding a James Bond box set of DVDs. Incredible. But none of us could have prepared me for what happened next. After moving on to Costco, we were previously at the Trafford Centre adjacent to it, I was sat in the in-store cafe when Yaya Toure was sat on the next table to me with his three sons, all of whom were in Barcelona shirts with Toure printed on the back. Unbelievable, Jeff.
He's in tears beating a birthday cake in his fist.
Yeah. And it's looking at a picture of a birthday cake.
Yeah, smiling.
It all occurred on the same day. And I wouldn't really believe it, to be honest, but I do sort of think there's enough detail in there for it to be true.
Yeah.
Finally for now, Martin Nash from London. I was on holiday a few years back in Portugal at a seafront bar when a car pulled up. Out came an elderly gentleman on crutches with what can only be described as a harem of ladies. He took up his favourite seat at the bar, pulled out his own bottle of famous grouse, at which point the bar staff immediately produced a glass with ice and plunked it down in front of him.
Peter Reed.
At this point, I realised it was none other than Eusebio.
Oh,
that's not
Eusebio.
Bad, is it? Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, and he's provided a picture, so evidence attached, and he says his favourite club in England was Manchester United, and his best opponent he ever played against was Bobby Charlton, and he was an absolute gent, and it was a few months before he died, sadly.
Late great.
Do you remember that lovely story about Eusebio that a friend of the Ramble, Rupert Fryer, told us once, where a friend of his is I can't remember the guy's name, but he's like really unlucky, he's always the butt of the joke. Yeah, it could be Kevin.
Is he called Andre?
He's called Andre Keegan.
Okay.
And really unlucky. A lot of bad luck. And if anything goes wrong to anyone in the group, it's always him and blah, 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 that. And he was waiting, I think it was maybe a Portugal-England friendly at Wembley, something like that. And Eusebio was there and people getting autographs from the great man. And he was signing loads of them and he came to Rupert's mate. And Rupert's mate went, can I have an autograph? And Eusebio just went, no! And walked off.
Nice.
Worked off by an absolute legend.
Absolutely superb. There was a celeb spot at my church today. Okay. I actually didn't see him, but a couple of people did. Big Pards!
Pardew.
Alan Pardew popped in.
Popping down to dish out some advice to God, no doubt.
In the VIP of the VIPs. Yes,
yeah. Oh, Jesus is at this one as well, isn't he?
He's 2,000 years old.
Yeah, you're old so-and-so. Yeah. Anyway.
Shut your choir.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Jim.
Yeah, do you want a website?
I'd love one, Jim. I'd love one.
Okay, so on thefootballramble.com this week, Kelly opens with bad news for body art fans everywhere as Alberto Moreno celebrates his upturn in form with a baffling tattoo before exclusively revealing West Ham's 2016-17 away kit. She also offers proof of Jurgen Klopp's nefarious infiltration of Dortmund's training session and draws some interesting conclusions regarding access to the vanity unit in Real Madrid's dressing room. You can follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells, and she's categorically not a vanity unit. Her words, not those of the sexist Luke Moore.
Stop it.
Any more for any more?
I think we're good.
All right,
let's get out of here.
If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter @footballramble. You know the coup.
Check out 44 Tunes, guys. YouTube.com/44Tunes or YouTube.com/footballramble.
Do all these things.
Oh, and on Instagram, we are /thefootballramble. Not football ramble, the football ramble.
There's video. There's little videos of us after the show.
Our Instagram is excellent. It's much better than this.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, on Twitter and Instagram, there's often a little vid. After we record the show. So
and Sam did a great video of our trip to Newcastle.
Yes.
Yep.
We'll have one for Birmingham.
From Birmingham as well. Yeah, so
beautiful.
Lovely.
We're checking out the visual element of our oeuvre.
Excellent. Say goodbye, Andre.
Don't tell me what to do.
Say goodbye, Luke.
I want to be Andre.
All right, say goodbye, Andre.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Andre.
Goodbye, Andre.
And it's goodbye from me.
Andre.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.